I became skeptical of it in the mid-90s when I was working for Channel 5 in San Francisco as their TV meteorologist. I became a bit skeptic because I was looking at temperature trends, and I kept noticing that, my gosh, in years gone by, the temperature has certainly been much warmer than what we're seeing today. And then I started digging into the carbon dioxide record, and I noticed that carbon dioxide had been significantly higher in years gone by. So, George, I think by the mid-90s, I officially became a skeptic, and I signed on to an agreement called the Leipzig Agreement, which was put together by Dr. Fred Singer, who is just a well-noted father. He's truly a father of modern meteorology. And that said, listen, here in the United States, we should not put forward policies that are going to alter the way we do business as a government or the way we do business as a people in order to combat global warming, because we're not sure that global warming is actually occurring because of the influence of man. So that was the Leipzig Agreement. I signed this agreement with a bunch of other professionals, and no sooner as I signed it, George, I started receiving phone calls from journalists who wanted to interview me.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that these journalists weren't really interested in a conversation. They were interested in an inquisition. And as I noticed and noted in the book Climate Gate, one of these inquisitions got just downright hostile. And that's when I started to think, okay, why are people agitated that I simply signed an agreement? That made me dig into the details a little bit more. And it was probably by, I would say, the late 90s, 99, 2000, became what some might describe, what Al Gore certainly would describe as a denier.
Yeah, Al Gore, the one who lives in the big house and that uses more energy than most of Tennessee.
It's amazing how this man is able to get away with this. And, of course, we understand he was recently separated. I'm not sure if it was a divorce. And anyone who's been married that long, you feel bad for him with Tipper, 40 years. I wonder if Tipper read my book. My book is the most damning book ever written about Al Gore. I get into the details of his life, George. But you know what I'm thinking, even with Al Gore's situation, because he is such a sly and crafty man, could this divorce actually be a way to shelter some of his assets, which are going to be growing mightily over the coming years? I don't know. It's just a thought, and I wouldn't put it past this man.
Interesting. You know, one of your colleagues I had on a few months ago, Brian, John Coleman, of course.
Oh, I love John. He was my inspiration for getting into television weather.
I thought he would be. And, boy, he is a staunch opponent of man-made global warming. Staunch.
Yes, and keep in mind, John Coleman not just had a wonderful, celebrated career as the greatest weatherman to ever be in Chicago, but this is a man who had the vision to found the Weather Channel. And he is a tremendous man. He doesn't mess around with his words, as you found out. And he's also a great human as well.
Why is this issue of climate change, global warming, why is it so emotional, Brian? And by that I mean, if you are talking to someone who believes that global warming, climate change is man-made, created by man, it's not a discussion. I mean, they'll get up and try to hit you in some cases.
Oh, yes, yes. And I've certainly seen those attacks, and I'm getting them even more now that I've written the book Climate Gate. I think it's because, George, we're trashing a religion. For some people, environmentalism has become their religion. And I do know in the case of Climate Gate, there were a lot of bookstores that just refused to carry the book because they thought it was going to be too offensive to their patrons.
That's amazing. You know, none of us wants pollution. I mean, look at what's happening in the Gulf of Mexico. I mean, it pains me.
Yes.
You know, we are covering this story day in and day out, and we were one or two days ahead of the mainstream media with this, thanks to one of our tipsters. But I've got to tell you, nobody wants pollution, yet we have to really decide what's causing the warming. And as you believe, and I believe, and John Coleman believes, we're in an Earth cycle. These things happen.
Yes, these things happen. They always have happened. They always will. And you mentioned something here. Nobody wants dirty air. No one wants dirty water. And I think that's what the environmentalists capitalize on. There are a sector of their believers who are simply nice people who say, listen, I don't want the planet to be screwed up. I want it to be nice and clean. And as I mentioned in the book Climategate, I spent a lot of time just talking about what a great job we've done here in the United States. We certainly do create a lot of pollution, but we clean our pollution up. And I think that's why the federal government had to come up with a new boogeyman in that of carbon dioxide, because you know, we've cleaned up fine particulates and ozone and nitrogen dioxide and sulfur dioxide and carbon monoxide and lead, et cetera. We've done a masterful job of cleaning those things up.
We have. I'm not sure the Chinese have.
No, no. In fact, they could give a rip. But isn't it interesting, George? They're not included in any of the UN treaties.
That's right.
Having to do with global warming.
That's because they're financing the rest of us.
Yes, they're financing the rest of us, and this is also an opportunity for those at the UN and here in the United States to see wealth transferred to developing nations, wealth from the United States transferred to developing nations.
I had a friend of mine who sold his business years ago, and he made millions, Brian. I mean millions. And he said to me once, he said, George, I'm going to practice the golden rule. And at that time, Brian, I don't know what it was. I said, what's the golden rule? And he said, whoever has the gold rules. Now go get my coffee.
And isn't it interesting? And I know you've touched on this quite a bit, but the price of gold absolutely going through the roof right now. And we are in a situation where we've got great economic catastrophe and collapse possibly just around the corner. We've got this environmental scheme that's being worked through the hallowed halls of Congress, as you mentioned at the top of this hour, with the Senate bill on gutting the EPA from being able to regulate greenhouse gases. And it's interesting because, George, the environmentalists and the policymakers, both in the White House today and in the United Nations, truly believe that the economy and the environment are linked. You can't have one without the other. And I believe they're using this global warming crisis, as they like to see it, as an opportunity to completely transform our economy. And if the economy crashes, guess what? The guys at Goldman Sachs, people like Al Gore, et cetera, they may see their last big bubble ever in that of all of this green technology and the trading of carbon dioxide. In fact, I believe they think that this is their last big opportunity of a lifetime to score huge amounts of money before the entire economy collapses, and that's why they're looking forward to things like cap and trade.